Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio for Saturday, May the 19th, 2012. I'm your host, Chris Van Cleve. We're the only show on the airwaves dedicated to growing roses, our national floral emblem. Rose Chat is sponsored today by Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with all-natural soil conditioners. Find them online at manuretea.com. Annie Haven, owner of the Haven Ranch, home of Mupu Tea, will be joining us a little bit later today. We've got a fantastic show. It's our spring garden party. We're going to be chatting with our Rosarian friends and our sponsor on what's growing in their gardens. We'll be sharing garden tips, and we'll be taking your calls and questions about roses. Call us during the live broadcast at area code 347-677-1870. Or submit your questions to us anytime via Twitter. Simply use the RoseChat hashtag in your tweets, or you can send us an email at grow@rosechat.info. First, let me welcome my co-host for today's show, Teresa Byington. Hey, Teresa.
Hey, Chris. Hello, everyone. Since spring is my very favorite season, I'm all about spring garden parties. And I'm so glad to share this beautiful morning with Susan and Annie. Here in the Midwest, we are having a beautiful spring. It's so beautiful, I can hardly stand it. I don't even want to go to bed at night. Spring is the perfect time to share what's going on in my garden, and I love to find out what's happening in other gardens.
That's awesome. Well, be sure to check out Teresa's blog, thegardendiary.com. She's been sharing some beautiful photos this week of her roses and really all month. So tell us, Teresa, what's blooming in your garden this week?
Well, the rose getting all the attention is by my potting shed where I have the pleasure of sitting right now. The pergola is completely covered with beautiful pink blooms from New Dawn. And as I look out over the garden, there's still some of the old garden roses in bloom, and I can smell their fragrance even from where I sit. But most of my hybrids, they're still at the bud stage, but they're close, so close. I keep watching them because I don't want to miss anything. But you know what they say about a watched pot.
That's true. You know, helping people to grow great roses is our ultimate goal, and we want to hear from you during today's broadcast or at any time. So if you have questions about growing roses, just drop us a line by email at grow@rosechat.info, or if you have a question during today's live broadcast, please give us a call at area code 347-677-1870. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, guys, and don't forget our live Twitter chats on the last Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On May 30th, we welcome our special guest, Jerry Laufer, who will be tweeting about roses and herbs. Did you know that the rose was named Herb of the Year for 2012? It should be an exciting chat, and I'm sure you'll want to join us. You know, joining is easy. Just follow us using the hashtag RoseChat on Twitter. If you're not familiar with Twitter chats and you want to get started, we have some excellent how-to information on the RoseChat blog. Just go to rosechat.info, rosechat.info. Chris, I know that this time last week you were up to your ears in roses at the 60th Birmingham Rose Show. How was the show?
Teresa, I want to tell you, it was a tremendous show. We had about 500 people come and see the roses at the Birmingham Botanical Gardens, and it was just amazing. You know, last year we added a photography exhibition to the normal rose show that we have, or the regular rose show that we have, and we had over 80 entries of photographs depicting the rose, as well as over 50 arrangements featuring the rose, and about 400 different varieties of roses were on display. It was a magnificent weekend to come and share the roses here in Birmingham. We had a great time. You know, rose show season is here, There are Rose shows probably held in all 50 states, as well as around the world. But here in the United States, there is a website that tracks Rose shows around the country. It's called roseshow.com. You can read the results of Rose shows and what the top exhibition roses are. A good friend of mine, Robert Martin, is the webmaster and the owner of roseshow.com, and he makes it his business to record the results and to track what roses are winning in rose shows across the country. To give you an idea of what roses do well in what area of the country, as you look through those statistics, it can help you determine what roses to grow in your garden.
That's great. I can't believe 500 came. That is so exciting, Chris. You know, another good thing about following Rose Chat on Twitter, it's so easy to experience the Birmingham Rose Show last weekend for me. I just followed Chris's tweets, and I almost felt like I was there. He didn't just tweet information, but loads of beautiful pictures. So we got to see some of these beautiful roses that they were displaying. It was very, very nice.
It was great. We had a great time. I can tell you that the winners of the show, you know, this is a judged show, an American Rose Society sanctioned event, and we have judges come from outside our city to judge this show, and it was exciting to see the those who won Queen, King, and Princess of Show this year. The Princess and the King Award were awarded to first-time exhibitors. These are new rose, novice rose growers who came and entered their blooms, and they were judged among the top one. So there's hope for us home gardeners in the Rose Show level. I want to go ahead and welcome our friends, our garden friends that are joining us today to today's broadcast. Annie Haven of Haven Brand Soil Conditioners. Good morning, Annie.
Good morning, Chris, from sunny Southern California. How are you today?
Oh, we're doing awesome. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to sponsor Rose Chat Radio. It's been an exciting time here at the ranch. Arlena Schott from GardenWise Living TV out of Wisconsin has been out here in California doing her magical miniature garden tour. And she's been here at the ranch the past 2 days. We've been filming a little on Mupu Tea and enjoying. So it's been pretty exciting here.
That's awesome. Tell Arlena that the folks at Rose Chat said good morning and hello. We hope she's listening in today.
She's in the living room here at the ranch house waving to everybody and typing away on her computer. So we'll bring her on and let her say hello to you personally.
That's great. That's great.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Arlena.
Hello. Good morning. It's beautiful here at the ranch. Annie is absolutely wonderful, and I'm loving my visit here in California.
That is awesome. So you're on the magical, mystical miniature.
She's on a magical miniature garden tour for Jeremy, who is the company that produces the little the furniture and all the little ornaments that you see in these gardens, and she's been visiting independent garden centers. She was at Bushnell in Northern California with GrowOrganics.com, and she's worked her way down. She was over in Orange County at a little store called The Dragonfly in Old Town Orange, and then she came on over here to the ranch and kind of taking a couple of days. We've been doing some filming and just enjoying.
Wow. It sounds
so
like a great
filming,
time.
Is she filming miniature, like miniature piece, miniature roses, or miniature, what kind of miniatures?
Well, you know, the new trend now is for people to build complete miniature gardens to scale. So if you took your home and garden, you build it to scale, just in a container. They're really magical, like fairy gardens.
Oh my goodness, that sounds amazing.
They're wonderful, and some of the ones that are they're creating are pictures that I see are phenomenal. So she had contacted me last year and said they were putting this tour together, and I, as with everybody, that the ranch gates open, so she rolled up the driveway with her film crew, and here we are.
That's awesome.
That is. That's so exciting. I heard Susan in there. I also wanted to welcome to the Rush Chat Mix this morning Susan Fox, affectionately known by her family and friends as Gaga. She blogs at gagasgarden.com. Hey, Susan, so glad you could join us today.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Annie, Teresa, and Lorena. It's so good to be here, and thank you so much, Annie, for being our loyal sponsor once again. It's good to be here.
Thank you, Susan. It's wonderful to hear your voice. I can't wait to tweet up with all of you guys. Hopefully, maybe I can have you all out here to the ranch, and you can help me keep these old roses that are such a part of the ranch here looking their best.
Oh, it's, you have some old garden roses out there?
The majority of the roses that are here are all 17th and 18th century roses and older than I. So they're old.
It sounds wonderful. It sounds wonderful. I not to get too much off topic, but I just started my first, I'm trying to start my first propagation of a miniature this week. So I'll be keeping you posted on that. I haven't ever done it, but I'm going to try.
Now, Susan, is that the miniature that's named after you?
Yes, the Jack Walter, he named a miniature. It's my middle name, Valeria, and he told me how to propagate it. I sent him six little clippings. He's going to propagate some more in case my efforts aren't success. Well, I shouldn't say that. I know I'm going to be successful, so I'm starting.
Girl.
I started one this week, so I'll keep you posted. But also, I think you know the first bed. I just to give everyone a little background. I moved from Texas. I was in Texas with a corporate job. I grew up in Northern Illinois, but I started. It was like I moved to another planet, growing roses in Texas, and I had 200 roses there. And then I moved back to Illinois, only at Central Illinois, and I started on 3 acres. It's not like Annie's farms, but 3 acres for me is a lot. And I had to start putting in new beds. And the first rose bed I put in was a Floribunda bed. And I chose Floribundas because they're showy and put on a lot of flowers, and usually the blooms will last. And that, in Northern Illinois, because of a cooler climate, the first blooms normally weren't until Father's Day, so this is a milder climate. We're only about an hour from St. Louis, so to give you a reference where we're located, and that garden has been blooming. These are the roses that I got from your supplier, Chris, out of Tennessee, and they were planted bare roots. When did he ship? About the end of February, Chris, the Tennessee?
He does. That's S&W Greenhouse up in White House, Tennessee. He ships at the end of February every year, which is a little early for some northern gardeners, but here in the Deep South, it's right on time.
Yeah, I just hope, you know, I hope that it's on multiflora. I don't want to get too complicated here, but I sure hope he's on multiflora rootstock, because I still should be on a northern rootstock, but if not, I'm going to have to really protect him. But that first garden that I put in, although one of the roses was, thank you, Teresa, it's Jean Brunner. Remember I did the cardinal scent of rose growers? I planted that rose last year, and I said, I shall never forget the name of that rose. And then I forgot, and it just has been driving me crazy. And then Teresa put a picture up, and I recognized it instantly. I mean, it was driving me crazy, and it's the first rose in that garden planted last year, my first rose ever in Illinois, was Jean Brunner. And I thought, I never really liked the name of that rose, but maybe that's why I forgot it. But it's a magnificent rose. The second, isn't that funny to not like the name of a rose, but I don't. But I love the rose.
Yeah.
And then
it's a beautiful rose.
The second rose I planted, and that from the Tennessee grower, it didn't ever come out of dormancy. And I didn't like it in Texas, and I didn't like it in Illinois because it didn't make it was Sheila's perfume. So forget about Sheila's perfume. It's already been shovel pruned. So I shovel pruned it and put in Sunsprite, and it's doing great. The third, really, it's just forget Sheila's perfume. I'm never playing it again. But Sunsprite is magnificent and blooming. Playboy, I had it in northern Illinois, I had it in Texas, and I have it here, and it's a winner, so it's looking good. Rainbow Sorbet, magnificent. I put a bloom picture up on of Rainbow Sorbet on Rose Chat. It just looks neon. The color is so great. And just remember, in cooler climates, the color holds better in roses, because in Texas, when it gets hot, the color washes out so fast. I mean, it just bleaches the color. And here, with these cooler days, the color is magnificent. And then Kimberlina, it's a rose that I had to pick up just at a local low-end garden center because I was desperate. And then, but it looks good. You know, us, as they said, this one garden center said, you collectors, I never was called a collector before, but I think I am a collector. And then I got an old standby iceberg that looks great. Looks great. So that's the status of that little garden. And then Chris had wanted to know what's it like moving from Texas to a colder climate. And I think it's wonderful because Texas was melting last summer. I mean, it was so hot, I realized that I must, having grown up in northern Illinois, I think I'm a true blue-blooded Yankee because Texas was just melting me. So that's what I got to say about that.
Wow.
Sorry,
wow.
Texas. Sorry,
no,
Texas.
You're...
I love Texas, but it got too hot for me. Last summer it was like 100 days, over 100, triple digits, and I was melting, and it was melting the rose bushes. But I'm sorry to have given up some of those roses that I don't know now with the trouble in the, all in the rose industry, how I'll ever get back Heaven and Bewitched and some of the incredible roses. I really, really grieve for some of those roses.
My goodness.
But I left behind.
Yeah, the heat, I think, sometimes just, you know, you get used to growing in one climate and you move to another, and it's just a totally different atmosphere. We've got a couple folks in the queue with call. Is there a caller on the line from the 651 area code? Did you have a question for Rose Chat this morning?
Yes, this is Elena Williams, and I'm in the 651 area code, but I'm actually west of Seattle because I moved and kept my phone number.
Hi, wow. Elena.
I've been following all of you for a while, and I thought I would call in on the show today with a question. I've been experiencing black spot in my new location since I moved from Minnesota to Seattle, west of Seattle, actually, across the Sound. And I'm wondering if everyone else in the country is experiencing a lot of black spot this year.
We certainly are in the Midwest. We're having a lot of black spot in the Midwest, and I'm trying a new product called Green Cure.
Okay. I haven't tried anything.
Yeah. I haven't had any, not anything yet, you know, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the Deep South, you know, I'm just a little bit south of Birmingham, Alabama. I haven't had a huge problem with black spot this year. You know, I apply a dormant spray in the winter months, lime sulfur, and that seems to help, you know, kill the disease or the mold spores that cause black spot on contact. And so I really haven't had that large of a problem, but I've talked to other rosarians in our Rose Society, and they've had issues with it, and some of them, you know, employ a 10-day spray program to help
mm-hmm.
get rid of that. And, you know, there's a number of products out on the market that you can use for to help you get rid of black spot. What did you use? Now, I know, Elena, you recently moved from one, like Susan, from one area of the country to another. How has that affected the way you garden?
Boy, this year has been a real learning experience for me. It's been very different. The coldest temperature here was 26 degrees, and that was just for like a couple days. And so the roses never really went dormant. I was given advice to pick off all the leaves in late November, and I did that, and I thought that would help with this black spot prevention. And then when spring came, things seemed okay, but now... and we have a long spring here. The climate's very different. We have spring from about the end of February until June. And so the rosebuds really grow large and the foliage grows really large. But our rose shows here won't start until late June and early July, which is about what they were in Minnesota. But the roses will be a lot bigger. I've just been picking off the black spot as I see it, but it seems like every day I go out there, I see it.
Yeah, yeah. For me, once it begins, it's a daily chore or a daily, I call it my daily battle to remove those leaves and try to keep the garden beds clean and you know, make sure. I did a blog post this week on the importance of having a garden bucket. It seems pretty simple, but, you know, it's just a lined 5-gallon bucket that I take with me out in the garden, and I remove those diseased leaves from the garden area totally. I wouldn't put them in my compost bin or anything like that. Actually, tie them up and just throw them away to help keep your garden as clean as possible. And that seems to help me keep down the disease problem, so I don't have to spray as much and that sort of thing. I think the older I get, the less I want to spray.
Elena, you're not watering at night, are you? It's important that cool, damp nights are breeding grounds for black spots, so you need to water early in the morning. So, and that's why drip systems are important. So are you doing that? Also, I have tried, a good natural solution that I did find online was a tablespoon of baking soda with some vegetable oil and a couple drops of dishwashing liquid is supposed to be a good natural spray. Try to cut down, but do it early in the morning. The leaves need to be dry at night. That's the key. You don't want the overnight is the key to not have water on the leaves in the evening. It's the cool, damp nights is a breeding ground for black spots.
Right, and we get a lot of dew because I'm very close to the Puget Sound, and so I think I'm going to have to start looking for varieties that are very, very resistant to black spot because you can't do a whole lot about the dew that forms.
Right, right.
That's true. That sounds like a great topic for a future episode. I'd love to talk some more about that.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call today, and nice to finally meet you all. I've been following you on the Twitter chat, and that's been a lot of fun. So thanks for taking my call.
Great. Yeah,
thank you. It's nice to see you all the time on Twitter and on Rose Chat, Elena. Good to finally talk to you, Susan, here.
Thanks. Oh, Susan, yes. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, great. We're glad we're having callers this morning. Amy, we had another caller in the queue. Are you on the line? I think maybe we've lost that caller. Teresa, did you have some questions for Annie this morning?
I sure do. Hey, Annie. I have Moopoo brewing as we speak. I'm getting ready to prepare my tomatoes this afternoon. Hey, tell us a little bit about the old garden roses that you have on the ranch. Do you know the names of them or what varieties you have?
No, there was at one point a list that my grandmother had together, and some have been transplanted and rearranged. So as they bloom, I've been taking pictures and posting those and kind of getting a little bit more information. You know, my background is in the farming and the ranching end of it and learning the gardening end of it. The names and that are special. So I don't want to call one something and find out that that one was actually moved somewhere else. So that's been one of my little projects here at the ranch.
It'll be fun to identify them. That's a fun little project. Hey, give us an update on what's happening at the ranch.
Well, we're in the full swing here of harvesting and processing, and of course the orders are coming in, which is wonderful, and pictures flowing in from different areas across the country, Canada, wildflower farms, Merriam Wildflower on Twitter. They are now just selling Authentic Haven brands. They are the Canadian distributors, which is wonderful. They also have a product called Eco Lawn. The business is growing. The awareness of feeding natural nutrients to the soil for optimal plant growth, the other benefits that it brings for extending the life of your cut flowers so you can enjoy your garden indoors longer. I do have a few growers in Northern California that have been experiencing a little bit of black spot. They've been brewing in foyer spraying their roses in the morning, which is helping to curtail that problem. The weather has been so dry here in California that the soil really needs the nutrients to help relieve the stress from the plants. We went from fall right into summer this year. Last year we had a winter, but then we went right into summer. Again, like Susan said, in Texas, we were experiencing, 100 days of 100-plus degree heat. And Southern California, that's tough. That's really hard. We're not used to it on myself as well as the garden.
That's true. Any, how often do you use the alfalfa teas on your roses?
As a rule, normally very good feeding after the last frost. And then start feeding either the horse manure or the cow manure. That's, the grower's preference there. But because of the way things have been out here with the weather, I will be brewing another big batch. The first flush of blooms are now gone from the roses because everything started blooming early here. So I will give them another good feeding here in another week or so. I'll follow up with a quarter to a half a cup of Epsom salts a week or so after that, depending on the size of the bush. Water that in very well, and then I'll continue to keep feeding the cow and the horse manure tea.
Perfect.
Throughout. And I do brew and feed every time I water. And there are some that brew and feed for good feedings throughout the growing season. It just depends on the health of your plant. And if you feel that they're needing that boost of natural nutrients, get in there and condition the soil so they can absorb what they need for optimal growth. And like I said, I've got, many growers that also brew and use the tea for foyer spraying early in the morning. Again, you don't want any.
Well, what a fun spring garden party this has been. But our friends, it's time for us to wind down. Our time is running short. I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us today on Rose Chat, the only show on the radio dedicated to growing roses, our national floral emblem. If you're not a member of the American Rose Society, we encourage you to consider joining. Check them out at ars.org. You can contact us on Twitter by including the Rose Chat hashtag in your tweet. On Facebook, go to the Rose Chat page or via email at grow@rosechat.info. Be sure and visit our website at rosechat.info for news and information from the world of gardening. And always, thanks to Annie of Haven Brand Soil Conditioners for sponsoring today's show. You can visit Annie at the web, manuretea.com. And thanks to Susan for joining us today and sharing her stories from her new garden. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
Thanks so much, Teresa. Annie, Susan, thank you guys for joining. Thank you for all of those who called in today. Elena, it was great to talk to you, and we look forward to to sharing roses with you again on the next episode of Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. Hope you have a great afternoon.
Happy Bye-bye. Gardening, girls.
Thanks for having us.